Our faith influences our everyday life, and that is why theology matters. It's important we know what it is we believe and why we believe it. Join me, Cass, as we talk about theology and how it impacts our everyday life. We'll discuss cultural, societal norms and taboo topics, all in light of biblical truths and standing firm in Christ. This is Her Theology. Hello, ladies, and thank you for listening here to another episode with Her Theology. I'm so excited for this episode. Again, I say that in every episode, but I do mean it. It's an interesting one today. I'm very passionate about this. It's politics and the Christian faith, and I have Wendy Francis from ACL with me. Wendy, thanks for coming on.
Now, thank you for having me, Cass.
Yeah, no worries. I know you're a busy lady, so I really appreciate you taking out the time for this. I will say right from the get-go, I have no doubt we have listeners that are going to be shuddering at the thought of politics right now, because it seems to be there's always a mixed group of people, particularly around politics, because I think some people get a little bit frightened by it, or maybe just feel really uneasy, or just have no clue and don't want to get involved. And then there's probably another group of people listening that are really passionate about it and vocal and want to get involved. Maybe they're not sure how, or maybe they already are quite involved. So regardless of who you are that's listening, I have no doubt you're going to get a lot out of this episode. And also because I'm asking the listeners questions, so we are covering a variety of topics. But before we get stuck in, I thought I'd just do a little intro for who Wendy is. Let me say, I'm very impressed by your bio, Wendy. You have done an awful lot in your life. It's very encouraging. Wendy is the National Director for Politics at the Australian Christian Lobby. She is a recognised Australian spokesperson for the rights of children and women and an effective campaigner against sexual exploitation in all its forms. Wendy has written 4 children's books, crazy, and was a contributing author to the book The Greens Policies, Reality and Consequences, published by Connacourt. Wendy's professional experience includes managerial positions at Griffith University and Queensland Baptists. In 2010, though, Wendy commenced a movement called Outdoor Advertising Should Be G-Rated, contributing to various inquiries and to laws being introduced to stop offensive messaging on Australian roads, and I will personally thank you for that. Wendy is a director and board member of Samaritans Purse Australia, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and Vision Media Australia. You are very busy. Wendy has travelled to countries such as Vietnam, Thailand, Bangladesh, and Cambodia to oversee projects which seek to rescue women and children from sex slavery and also provide literacy projects amongst rural women. She has been married to her husband, Peter, for 42 years. Congratulations. And they have 3 married children and 11 beautiful grandchildren who are the delight of her life. So, Wendy, again, thank you. You have a lot on your plate, and I really appreciate all you have done for society. It's incredible.
Well, I actually love talking to people like yourself, and I love talking about politics. So I'm in that crazy group of people who actually love politics. But I would say to the people who don't switch off, because politics affects your life and the life of your children intimately. And so whether or not you're one of these people who go to the voting, you know, booth like I do and take my time and vote under the line, or whether you just want to get in and out, this is an important conversation. So stay tuned.
Amen to that. I couldn't agree more. I'm the one that sits in the middle, where I'm really passionate about politics and I get really fired up about it, but I probably don't know enough to speak publicly about it. So I'm looking forward to chatting. Wendy, let's get stuck into the ACL, because I think a lot of people naturally, and it's quite funny, I just saw on Instagram recently, you had a Q&A with, was it you and Steve?
And Martin Niles and Alistair, I think. Is that the one you're
reading? Yeah, and you're talking about, like, a journalist asked you, oh, how do we vote for ACL? And I was like, oh, okay. It's obviously a common misconception that ACL is not a political party. It's a lobbying group. So would you be able to give us just a little bit maybe more understanding to those that are new to ACL, what the vision and mission of it is, and, like, how did you get involved and what your role entails there as well?
Yeah, that's great. No, we're not a political party, so you can't vote for us, but rather we work outside the political system to a degree. We work outside the party system. And what we're seeking to do is to not then have any bias or any restrictions on how we can speak, because we want to actually speak truth into the public square. Yeah. We want to affect how the members of parliament actually research and understand what it is that God would require of them in government. But we also want to motivate other people. So we want to motivate people in churches. We want to get a grassroots movement happening of people who really care about the truth being spoken in public spaces. You know, God is concerned about truth in public.
Yes.
And so, you know, it says that one of the verses in the Bible that we often speak about is the verse, it's in Isaiah 59:14. It talks about truth stumbling in the public square. Mm. And it says there that God was displeased when he looked and saw that there was no truth in the public square. And so often these days we're a little bit nervous to actually speak truth in the public.
Yeah. Yes.
And so ACL seeks to do that, but we also seek to equip other people to do it. And we've grown enormously over the last few years. We're over 220,000 grassroots supporters. Wow. which makes us one of the largest political lobbying parties, one of the largest political lobbying groups in our nation. And so that makes a difference when we're talking to Christian MPs, but when we're talking to just any MPs about this large constituency that is particularly concerned about some particular issues. And so they take notice because there's so many people. And so if we talk to them about moral issues such as marriage or gender even, but also we talk to them about housing, we talk to them about, you know, all vulnerable people, the needs of vulnerable people, certainly refugees. So there's all those issues that Jesus really cares about, we talk to them about. And so we just see our role as being one that seeks to influence government and organisations and society for the sake of Jesus.
That's fantastic. And I love what you're talking about in Isaiah there, you know, that the truth stumbles in the square. Like, it is a really big part that I think it's a question I had a bit further on, but we can kind of talk about it now, is that a lot of Christians hold the view that politics and faith, they do not collide. They cannot be together. And then there's others that say the church should very much be involved in the state. So I guess, you know, can you maybe flesh that out a little bit more? What does that look like? Like, ACL obviously really does believe in being in the public square and influencing politics, but yeah, I just thought that Isaiah passage is very relevant to that question as well.
Yeah, it really is. And so many people say this about being the church and state being separate. But, you know, it was Abraham Kuyper who was actually Prime Minister of Prime Minister of the Netherlands, but he was also a really well-known theologian. And he said there's not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign, does not cry mine. And so when people start to sort of slice off important parts of our life and say, look, Christians shouldn't go there, I say to them, so where is it that God tells us to do good works? Once we come to know God, one of the things that God wants us to do is to be involved in doing good works. Yeah. He makes that really clear.
Yes.
So do we want to do good works just in our families or in the hospitals or in schools? Or is there a case where we want to actually do good works in politics as well? Mm. It's a really important part of our lives. And if you talked to our brothers and sisters, particularly like in Ukraine or in Russia or even Afghanistan at the moment, and you said we shouldn't be involved in politics, or, you know, politics doesn't really matter so much, then they would say, hang on a minute, the reason we're in the position we are at the moment is because of politics.
Yes.
Politics has a profound effect on each of our lives. And there's many verses through the Bible, and I could name them. You know, we go to Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, we go to 1 Timothy 2. There are a number of Bible verses that speak directly about government and how God wants us to interact with government. And so he cares, you know, Christians have been involved in politics right through history. And so many times we talk in glowing terms of some of the people that we look back over and we see the difference that they've made politically. We talk about these people, but then when it comes to our own modern history, we say, oh, but we shouldn't be involved. I don't understand that thought, to be honest, and I certainly don't believe that it's what God is calling us to do.
Yeah, and we even see it prevalent in the Bible stories we're raised on in Sunday school, right? You know, look at Joseph. He was sold into slavery and then worked for the king. I mean, you talk about politics. He changed the entire nation. God used him powerfully. So that is still relevant to today. We can see that even Absolutely. With Daniel, the story, Daniel, whatever. You can go all throughout scripture, we see it. So they definitely shouldn't be separate. So you touched on and you said, you know, Christians can really influence the world for good through politics. And I know ACL, like you said before, has grown tremendously. I feel like in a very short period of time. I could be wrong there. Maybe it's just because I'm more aware of it. But it seems to have been very blessed in its work recently in the last 3 to 5 years. But can you maybe share some of the good work that you have done in seeing changes? So I know you cover everything from like assisted suicide, abortion, gender transitioning, religious freedom bill, all that sort of stuff. And then you were talking about refugees and everything. What would be some of the like major big wins for ACL has had in the more recent years? And is there any areas that we still need to work in that you guys need support in?
Yeah, that's great. I think we have grown, well, I know we've grown enormously over the last few years, but it's because of a really good foundation that was set. So, from the previous managing directors, there was just this foundation of biblical truth, not straying from that. Like there was just, we don't, sometimes you hear of mission drift and organisations that have been set up to do one thing actually drift from their initial purpose, and they can easily become very off track. That hasn't happened with ACL. And then God has really blessed the ministry of Martin Isles. So Martin is a young guy who really knows his Bible, is committed to biblical truth. And God has just given him an amazing opportunity to build this audience. And so there are millions that watch his Truth of It videos. Yeah. And so the influence has grown. And obviously ACL has really benefited from that. And with that growth, it does grow in the way that we can actually influence politics. I'd have to say, though, in past days, perhaps there's been more of a willingness to listen to the Christian voice, and that willingness has deteriorated over the last few years. And so the way that God has grown the organisation has really made up for any loss in the willingness to listen. So there's things like in the very recent South Australian election.
Yes,
we were very focused on the one message of who voted for abortion to birth. And this was really important because there were good people in both major parties and in the independents who voted for or against babies to be able to be aborted right up to the day of their birth. So this Sick. Was not just an issue for people of faith. This became a big issue right across the state because people were like horrified that this would be something that the government would bring in. And the government that brought it in was a Liberal government, which was very surprising as well.
Yeah.
And so we had a strong focus against particular seats in where the voting had been for abortion to birth. And we saw the proof points afterwards were very obvious that we had made a difference in that election. So that has given us some renewed sort of strength for this upcoming federal election, which we might get to talking about more.
Yeah.
But certainly South Australia is a good one. The religious discrimination bill, ACL was very instrumental in getting it to the vote. But we were also instrumental in removing it from the Senate when the amendments that the Greens and the Labor voted for would mean that we were worse off, certainly Christian schooling particularly, but all faith-based schools and religious organisations as well, were going to be worse off with a religious discrimination bill plus the amendments that the Greens and the Labor brought in.
Right.
And so we were instrumental in actually removing it from the Senate as well. So there's things like that.
That's been pulled completely, or will that be like reassessed? What would be next for that?
Yeah, so both major parties are making moves at the moment to bring forward what they are promising in regards to a religious discrimination bill after the election.
Okay.
Certainly, we've got letters from both major parties, and we are seeking to have in writing that we can actually go out to the Australian people and say, this is what both parties are promising.
Okay.
Because again, religious freedom is something that obviously really matters to Christians and to people of faith, but religious freedom is at the heart of all freedoms, and all Australians are actually concerned about this. When it comes to religious Australians, over 70% of Australians actually identify as being religious. It's just over 50% that identify as being Christian, but there are many others who identify as some of the other mainstream religions.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're talking about religious Australians and religious freedom, you're talking about over 70% of Australians that are affected. So it is something that people really care about. And certainly both major parties are saying that they will bring in a religious freedom bill post-election.
Okay.
But what we need to see is the details, because as I just mentioned, sometimes if you bring in a bill and it actually removes freedoms that we already have and enjoy, then it would be worse off, and that was going to be the case. So we look forward to that. But certainly, you know, even we've been involved in the Parental Rights Bill that in New South Wales. We've been involved with a number of the gender fluid resources being removed from education curriculums, and that's
fantastic.
Been pleasing as well, because there's still way too much there, but we are in that conversation, and because of our advocacy and because of the 220,000 people who support us, there have been some of those resources removed.
Fantastic. That's really encouraging to hear. And on that parental rights bill, I actually want to touch on this, because this was something really close to my heart. And my best friend, actually, funnily enough, she noticed her daughter was in daycare, not a community daycare center or anything like that, just a normal daycare center. And they were talking about being inclusive and all that sort of stuff. And she ended up pulling her out because she found out they were teaching her about LGBTQI. Topics and issues, and she's 2.5, and which led her then to contact ACL because she was horrified and she found out about the parental rights bill. And so we've been following that closely. She shared that with a lot of people. But can you maybe just highlight, I know that's been, has that been paused as well? So maybe you could highlight what exactly that parental rights bill is trying to push, because I don't think parents are aware of the issue at hand. So maybe you could explain that as well, that why the parental rights bill is there.
And before I do that, can I just say, Cass, you know, the example that you've just given of a 2.5-year-old child, in the workplace, if we were to start talking about sexuality in the workplace and being specific in some of the ways that these curriculums are doing, that would actually be against this, you know, it would be seen as being sexually suggestive and inappropriate. And yet, on the other hand, we're saying we can do it to 2.5-year-old children. It makes my blood boil, to be honest.
It actually blows my mind. I was more in shock. I was like, this can't really be happening.
Yeah, scary. And it is happening. And so the parental rights bill, the basic premise of it is that parents and not schools, not anyone else, must be allowed to maintain the primary responsibility of teaching their children, particularly in the development and formation of morals, those core moral values that we have. And that includes the right to withdraw their children from classes if the parent is not happy with what's being taught. And so this is contrary to what's actually happening across the nation. So Mark Latham was the one who introduced this parental rights bill. And as I say, it's designed to actually ensure that parents and not schools have the right to decide what their children learn in this area. There's also a number of people who are working across the board on different areas of parental rights, because your listeners might not realise either that all the states around the nation have what they call a mature minor policy. And this mature minor policy allows health decisions to be made by children, underage children, young children at school without parental consent, as long as the teachers or the staff at the school would recognise them as being mature minors. And so this is an incredible danger to our children's health and wellbeing. What I'm talking about is children being able to go to doctors or even access abortion clinics without their parents knowing if the school decides that they are a mature minor. And what adds to this as well, so there's a number of different areas in this parental rights that I think are important to know, because what is adding to this now is the My Health record policies.
Yes.
My Health record policies have been changed recently so that now parents do not have access to their child's My Health record after the age of 14.
You're kidding.
So again, this is overriding parents' rights. And it's so unhelpful for Australian children who still need their parents, and they should not be left to carry. I sometimes say that our children are being expected to carry luggage that they are not old enough to carry. They're not strong enough to carry.
No, absolutely
not. And so they are left to carry health decisions and burdens that they are too young to handle without their parents' advice and help. And somehow we're normalising this. And it's absolutely a travesty of justice for our parents, but more particularly, I would say, for our children.
And this is where, as Christians, we have to be vocal about this. And I've got friends that send their kids to public schools, and we've been having discussions with them, because my husband and I have made the commitment that we won't be sending our children to a public school because of all this sort of stuff that's going on. Now, I know some of it might happen in Christian schools. Is that correct? I don't know if the same policies apply. But
it depends, Kaz, and it doesn't apply unless it's in the national curriculum.
Okay.
So when you hear that something has been mandated into the national curriculum, then that is meaning that even schools, independent schools, need to teach it. In saying that, there are usually a list of resources that are given for teachers to be able to use, and more often than not, a Christian teacher or a teacher with a moral conscience can choose a resource that would not be explicit in this way.
Okay.
But when you're talking about the My Health record and the mature minor policy, these are across the board, and these are for every child in our country.
That's crazy. And this is where, on that note, we're even tossing up homeschooling, and there's been a huge spike in homeschooling. I know it's been the biggest growth it's ever seen historically. Because of this, you know, the government has intervened and is trying to steal our children's innocence away. And
absolutely.
Even that statement, mature minor, that's hilarious.
Yeah. What? I know. And that's written in their language. That's their language.
It's actually humorous. So,
and who decides whether they're a mature
minor?
That's
exactly right.
And which day are they a mature minor?
Ah,
maybe
yes.
The next day they're not. I think the other thing to say about the Parental Rights Bill is that this is another example of Christians making a difference, and particularly, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of the ACL, because it was in February 2021 that Mark Latham actually introduced this bill into Parliament. And when he introduced it, in New South Wales they have a different sort of system that they want to know what the population think about a particular, particularly Mark is a minor party person, so he's not part of the government. So it was a private member's bill. So on a private member's bill, the government wants to know, is there support in the community for this bill? And if there is, we will consider it. If there's not, we won't.
Okay.
And so they put it out to the community to actually vote on whether it's something that they want to look at or not. So the government in February put it out, a questionnaire to the community in New South Wales to complete, and it was a test to see if the bill should progress. So on the 4th of February, this questionnaire had received 18,000 replies.
Wow.
And only 24% of that 18,000 actually supported the Parental Rights Bill. So 64% opposed, and the rest were not sure.
Really?
So we found out about this, ACL found out, and we were like, oh, that's horrendous. So on the 27th of February, ACL ran a phone campaign. And so because we've got these volunteers, we asked them to ring our supporters. So they're not making cold calls, they're ringing our supporters in New South Wales.
Mm-hmm.
And they made over 8,000 phone calls over that weekend. And we had 100 volunteers doing it.
Wow.
And so it's 100 volunteers making 8,000 calls. And over that weekend, the result was that the figures completely turned around. And by the time the questionnaire closed on that following Monday, the committee had received 62,687 responses.
Wow.
So it jumped up from 18,000 up to 62. And 55%, so that jumped up, you know, from 24% supporting, it jumped up to 55%. And so what had happened was we had rung our supporters. We were saying, did you realise that Mark Latham's bill, this is, you know, really important. I don't know whether you voted on this yet, but can we send you a link? Yes, please. Send us the link and we'll pass it on to the rest of people in our church as well. And so by the time the bill was, whether or not it was going to be tabled or not, 55% said yes, and so it was tabled. And so even though at the moment that bill is still not gone through, it's there. And the reason it was tabled was because people got involved in politics.
Fantastic. So there is still hope for this. We just got to watch this space, hey?
Absolutely. Okay. We will not give up on it. And I know Mark Latham's not giving up on it either.
Yeah, that's great.
He has changed some of the language to try and appease some people, but still the guts of it is still there. So the essence is still there. But it's not just in this upcoming election, the federal election, we're asking particularly the major parties, but the minor parties as well, what is your opinion about the mature the mature minor policy? What is your opinion about the My Health Record? Do you still believe that after 14 years of age, parents should be locked out of their children's health record? This is just horrendous.
Yeah, I'm a little bit in shock. I don't really know what to say because I did not know the extent of it. It is horrifying. Parents'
rights are being removed in a really drastic way in our nation. Yep. And this is a basic right of parents to their children.
Yeah. No, it's appalling. And God has given us these beautiful little humans to look after, and we must take that seriously. It is a command. In fact, we often invest our time and resources into church ministry and friends and those struggling, but our number one priority as parents is our children. When we stand before God one day, He's going to be going, how did you treat your spouse? And look at your children. Where are they? What have you done with these beautiful vessels I have trusted you with? And so we must fight nail and tooth, and I will say that time and time again, to ensure that we are looking after, protecting our children. Because I think a lot of parents as well say things like, oh, you know, we need to get them out in the world and everything. And I'm like, they're minors. They don't need that. Nowhere biblically do we see that. It's not their responsibility to change the world while they're young and learning. No, our job is to shepherd them, protect, disciple them, and to teach them truth in a world that is hating God's truth at the moment. So
I just can't agree with you more. And I think the priorities in our life need to be really carefully assessed.
Yep.
And for me, it was my husband and my children. That was the priority that God had given me.
Yeah.
My husband and I have often said to each other, our children are the only thing that we will actually see in eternity that we have here on earth.
Yeah.
And so our children are so important. And for me as a grandmother, I'd have to say to you, Cass, you read out a bit of my bio, and yes, I'm very busy, but my priority is still remaining my husband, my children, and my grandchildren now. Yep.
The next
If they needed me and I was anywhere in the world, I tell you, I would move heaven and earth to
beautiful.
Get to
them. Yeah. Love that. And it's so important as Christians we continue to have that mindset, because that's going to change the culture that we're in, and it's
absolutely
wonderful. So now we're talking a lot about these bills and all that sort of stuff, and we are going to go into the federal election soon, but I just really want to ask this question because I am someone that's been in the NGO sphere for a while. I actually worked in the human trafficking and all that sort of stuff as well. That's my background. And I now work with an organization that has unplanned pregnancies, so I'm very passionate about abortion. Anyway, I am big on advocacy. I know lobbying makes changes, but I know at the same time I feel very disheartened because it can feel like a very lengthy process. And I'm sure there's a few people listening going right now going, does all the petitioning, like signing this petition, sharing it with my friends, does all the advocating really make a difference? So, and outside of that, like outside of signing a petition here and there, what else can people actually do to make a difference with these bills or legislation?
Yeah, look, I have to say, I think that it does make a difference. Even, I mean, the example of Mark Latham's bill, that's a really good example of people filling in a questionnaire and getting that bill tabled.
Yep.
But one of the things that it does do, I think, Cass, is that when we involve ourselves, even with signing a petition, I think we're much more likely to actually pray about the result and to be interested in the result and to actually invest some of our time in thinking through and even speaking to other people. When we don't get in, whatever we don't get involved in, we tend to just ignore. And I think that there are probably too many issues for us all to be passionate about. I understand that. But there are things that we know God really cares about. He tells us that he cares about them. You know, there are times in the Bible when God says, I've set before you life and death, and he says, oh, that you would choose life. And so life matters to him, whether that's at the beginning of life or at the end of life or in our lives. And so there are things that God really cares about. And I think when we get involved, even just by signing a petition, we're much more likely to bring that to God in prayer. Yeah. So I think that's a personal response. But I'd also have to say that numbers really do make a difference to members of parliament. And if we neglect joining with our brothers and sisters in fighting for truth and fighting for what is good, then I think that we shouldn't be surprised when we get some of these things like the mature minor policy and like the My Health Record, because I think that we've got to be a bit more outspoken. Mm. I've grown up in a world that was actually quite Christian, but we're now in a world that is quite the antithesis of that. And but it's not actually in some, you know, in countries, in many of the Asian countries or even in African countries, there is a resurgence in Christianity. But here in our nation, we have lost sight of God. And so I do feel as if it's our responsibility to just make that call. We are asking people to vote very carefully at the federal election, for instance, and don't just go in and just decide on the spur of the moment. Do your research and vote really carefully and prayerfully. Mm. But also do sign those petitions. Do make a email to your member of parliament and let them know what you think. But even before you do that, I encourage people, get to know who you are. There's so many people I say, so which electorate do you live in? Because they say, oh, I'd really like to be involved. So I say, which electorate do you live in or who's your member of parliament? And they don't know. So it's good to know, because God actually tells us that we're to pray for our leaders, and many of us don't even know.
And I'm guilty.
Most of
that.
Us would know our prime minister's name. Many people don't know the opposition's leader's name. Mm. So I think it's important. I'm not saying it's the most important thing in the world, but I do think it's really important. And I don't think it takes much to be involved, just a little. And I can tell you absolutely that it does make a difference.
Okay, that's good to know. So on that note, with the federal election and voting and everything like that, I know ACR has a new campaign out, so maybe you can share that with us. And I know, I just want to say from the get-go, I know you cannot say vote for this or vote for that, and I think that's good. Actually I think that's very wise, even if you could, because that would just cause a whole lot of controversy. But okay, so I've had a few listeners message me variety, but I'm going to try and wrap up those questions in kind of one way. Many of them feel like they can't vote for either of the parties, even if it was to be like for the people within those parties, because they think, oh, a vote for an individual in that party means a vote for that party, and so they ethically can't. So I guess just helping understand the voting process. So if we vote for individuals, what does that process look like? Like, where does that vote go? And then maybe you can share a bit more about the campaign and how ACL is talking about voting for the people versus the party.
That's great. So, when you go to vote, there's going to be two pieces of paper. One's a smaller green piece of paper that's like a DL size, and the other is the long white Senate paper.
Yeah.
with the Green Paper, that's your House of Representatives. And the reason why it's called the House of Representatives is because there is a representative for every electorate around Australia that sits in our House of Representatives in Canberra. And so you are voting on who is going to represent your electorate on that green piece of paper. And whoever wins the majority of seats on that green piece of paper, they're the ones who form government, and their leader will be the Prime Minister. Okay. Now, when you get your green piece of paper, you need to number every box. And this is where it's really important, because your preferences matter as much as who you put as number one, because your paper will not expire. It will not actually stop being counted until your very last number is actually accounted for. So you vote, if you vote number one for a minor party or an independent, and that person does not have enough votes to actually win, then your piece of paper, your vote, will be moved to your next vote, and so on and so on.
Okay.
So your vote will never expire. Your vote actually stops with the person who wins. And so even the order that you put your major parties really matters. So if you might decide that you want to choose a major party as number one, then if that major party doesn't win, your vote will then go to the second one. And then it matters, for instance, if you put which of the major parties you put, or who you put above the other, because whoever wins will be the one that gets the most votes, and your vote will stop there, if that makes sense.
That's really good to
clarify. But if you vote for a minor party or an independent and that person does not get enough votes, there is still a benefit in that, because they will receive, if they get over 4% of the vote, they get funding to be able to run in the next election.
Okay.
But it also, it does send a message. And this is in the Green. That's the House of Representatives. You have to vote. You have to number every box. When you go to the white, long, long paper, it's like a long piece of toilet paper, to be honest.
Yes, it's huge. Up. Yeah.
You either vote above the line and you have to number 6 boxes, or you vote below the line and you have to number 12 boxes if you vote below the line. I know it's a little bit of an ask, but I encourage people to vote below the line and go 12. Because if you vote above the line and you vote just the 6, you are voting for parties. Okay. So you are voting for the Liberal, the ALP, or the Greens, or Pauline Hanson's One Nation, or United Australia Party. You are voting for a party.
Okay.
And they will decide which order they want to put their candidates in.
Okay.
So if you vote below the line and you are choosing then, and you only have to do 12, so it's not a huge amount more. You can fill in more than 12, and above the line you can fill in more than 6 if you like, but you have to fill in 6, and below the line you have to fill in 12. So again, below the line, if you do choose to do that and you choose to choose who you want to actually vote number one, you can vote for the exact person that you want in each party. You don't have to vote for all the party. You can vote for just one of the Senate candidates in that party, or you can vote for all of them, or you can vote for the minors first, and then and again, the voting will the preferences will flow. And so whoever you vote for, that person needs to get a certain amount of votes to get across the line. And your vote, if it doesn't get that person across the line, and that person doesn't get up, then your vote will move to the next person that you voted for.
Okay, so fantastic.
The white one is more complicated, but if you just remember 6 above or 12 below, and if you vote below, you're voting for people, not parties.
Great.
And in the green one, just make sure you number every box, but it doesn't. It's up to you to make the preferences. Don't let a party tell you how your preferences should go. You decide yourself.
Okay. And that means if for the green one, people just need to look up and research in the electric.
Electric, yeah. They do.
Who their representatives are.
Yeah, we are putting out a questionnaire. I think it's going out today, to be honest. So the questionnaire is going out to every candidate. And so we will be making public the candidates' answers on things that really matter to every Australian, to be honest, but particularly people of faith. And so we'll be making those answers known. So that will help. But I also suggest that people just decide What are your top three things in this election that really matter to you? Or maybe five? Perhaps don't go more than five, but between three and five, what's the top things that really matter to you? So is it education? Is it health? Is it parental rights? Is it, you know, perhaps removing sex selective abortions from Medicare, you know, things like that. There are more specific things as well. But decide what are your top issues and send those questions to your candidates and do your research as well, okay, because everybody will have different things that really get to their heart.
Yep.
You know, for you, Cass, you've already identified that you really care about the parental rights and you really care about
abortion,
life.
Yep.
And so those would be some of your issues. But other people might really care about public housing or education or different, you know, maybe they care about the mandates. Just make sure that you think through what is it that really matters to me in this election and ask your candidates and vote accordingly.
Okay, that's fantastic. That was actually the best explanation I have heard about voting, because I have been looking up different YouTube things, trying to wrap my head around it. That was exactly what I needed, and I have no doubts that many listeners did as well. So about this campaign, so ACL is going to email or contact every single candidate across Australia.
Yes, we are, in
wow,
every electorate. And
wow,
so we've got a list of them. Our list at the moment is up to 776. I checked this
wow
morning. But we expect it to go up to about 900. So
yep,
it's not until about the second week in May that's the cutoff for people to nominate as a candidate. But we're going to go out early and then we will catch up on the latecomers later on.
Yep.
So we've had a team of people doing this, going through and finding the most of their email addresses you can find on Facebook or on their own website pages. And so we are going out with this and we will be making sure that everyone knows who didn't answer as well or who refused
yep
to answer. We're also asking the parties, but we would prefer people to know about the people that they're voting for rather than the parties.
Yep.
The thing about the parties is that, you know, the Labor Party, for instance, they vote as a bloc. Very rarely do you get a conscience vote in the Labor Party. And then in the Liberal side, they do get a conscience vote. And so then we saw five of them vote against
yes
the Prime Minister with the Religious Discrimination Bill. And that made a big difference too. So there's pros and cons for both sides. So if you ask the party, not necessarily will the party be able to deliver what they're promising.
Yep.
But if you ask a candidate, how do you feel about the mature minor policy? And we've gone with basically yes or no answers so that it's not hard to answer.
Great, great.
And so we want to know, because I think the important thing for us is that we need good people in Parliament across both colours of the major parties, and we need good independents. I don't think anybody thinks that this election we won't see, particularly in the Senate, a number of independents or minor parties get up this time, because
yeah
people seem to be turning against the major parties to a degree. And so we think in the Senate it might be a little bit of a fruit salad. So we need to make sure that we ask them as well, because their votes will really
yes
matter.
Yeah.
And it's not that they can't go back on what they've said, but we will have a record and we'll be able to go to them and say, this is what you promised.
Yeah.
And this is what the people of Australia expect you to do, because we made this public. You promised that you would do this. Please explain why you are not doing that now.
That's fantastic. Look, yeah, I am really looking forward to this. So when can we expect those answers, do you think? Like in about 3 weeks-ish?
Yeah, I definitely would think we are hoping that we'll be able to start publishing by the beginning of May.
Okay.
So watch out for it from the beginning of May.
Yep.
We will be putting up also before then the questions that we are asking, so that people will be able to look forward to knowing what those questions
right
are and what answers will be coming. And it also helps people. Sometimes people can't think of the questions that they might want to ask their candidates themselves. So we would encourage people, you know, cut and paste our questions if they're things that resonate with you, and just send them and ask your candidates themselves. Because sometimes a candidate might answer someone from their own electorate and be hesitant to answer the Australian Christian Lobby, for instance.
Yes.
So because they are wanting your vote. If you live in their electorate, it really matters.
Yep.
Some electorates, you know, have won or lost an election with 35 votes. I know there's a few electorates that are hanging on about 500 votes.
Wow.
That's not very many.
No, no, not at all. So every single voice counts big time.
Absolutely.
Okay. Wendy, this has been phenomenal. Thank you so much. You have shared and you've shed light on so much for me. I could talk for hours because there's so many bills I would love to talk and dive into.
Yeah, I know we could.
I know. But look, thank you so much for your time. Now, can you maybe just to wrap us up, how do people get on board? How do people support ACL? What can we do to further this cause?
Yeah, like if your people just go to acl.org.au, then they will just get a little prompt asking them if you'd like to receive our emails. There is no obligation in any other way other than you will get a weekly email. In that weekly email, we give a wrap-up of what's happening around the nation. Yep. We tell you if there's any events happening because there are a number of times that we're doing forums and things around the nation. So it tells you that sort of thing. So I encourage people, sign up to get the email. You don't have to be involved. You'll get other emails saying, would you like to volunteer and that sort of thing. You do not have to. There's no obligation at all, certainly no financial obligation. So sign up and get the email. And I say to people, particularly Cass, you're a busy mum, people sometimes, you know, those emails come into your email box and you know you just can't cope with it this week. So I just, you know, press the delete. That's okay.
But if
they come in and this one, God just prompts you, yeah, no, look, I'd like to know what's going on this time, then you can have a read. And so I encourage people, get the emails, find out what's going on. Certainly keep an eye on the acl.org.au for the results of our questionnaire. But it also just gives you an opportunity to participate in the political system without too much strenuous effort. I just think, you know, what I want parents and particularly young mums to be doing is caring for their family and their children and their husbands. And so it's people like me who are free to actually spend the time researching, you know, go to the people who can help you with the information so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And so ACL is helpful like that.
No, that's fantastic. And I can attest to it. I've been looking, like receiving your stuff for a while now, and I find it really insightful. And they're really short, sweet emails. That's what I am really thankful for.
Yeah, and there's different topics. And so you can go, okay, I'm interested in this, not so interested in that. This is for South Australia. This is for Western Australia. Yeah. So it's sort of pretty obvious what you want to look at and what you don't.
Fantastic. And look, if you're someone that's got a bit more free time, definitely look into volunteering. I say that because I've been in the NGO sphere for a while and, you know, every set of hands helps and makes a tremendous difference, especially when you're making that many phone calls over a weekend. So definitely have a pray and think about that. I think that's one way you could really get involved and learn more about politics. So Wendy, again, thank you so much. God bless this ministry. I'm so thankful for ACL and the work that they're doing. Thankful for the way God's growing it. I have no doubt that's going to continue, and maybe we can get you on another time to talk about some other topics that arise. I'm sure many, many more will. But thank you so much for your day or your time today.
And thank you, Cass. I really appreciate your interest, and God bless to all of you who are listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Now, ladies, if you've listened to this, please like and share with your friends and family, especially with the election coming up. When's the date again? 21st, is it?
21st of May.
21st of May. Yep. 21st of May. It's a month now today. So it's really important we get this episode out so people feel equipped and ready and know what to do with this election coming up, but also how to get involved in the political sphere and maybe burst the bubble on some maybe myths and hesitations they may have. So please like, share, and subscribe to whatever you're listening to, and I will speak to you next time.